So happy it's Thursday. Here we are, ESPN Radio, 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvey.
And myself, Ryan White. Thanks for joining us. We have two guests in studio with us. First, Reed Matthews, financial advisor and first vice president of investments with Wells Fargo Advisors. Reed, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me today.
Also in the house, we have Ron Cantor with Cantor Property Inspections. Do what we do. Call Ron Cantor when you want to have your properties inspected.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
As always, we'd like to start the show with reaction to a couple news articles, and these are out of this week's Union Tribune. Strangely enough, majority of the articles are positive.
It's about time.
I scour the newspaper every day looking for interesting real estate articles to bring. And I have a couple here, and yeah, they're all positive. That's the first time in a long time that I found that.
You know, I tell you, there was a period in time when the banks were looking at the market and they were pricing these bank-owned properties below the last sale. Now what we're seeing is all this positive information coming out. Really, I think we're seeing a recovery in the marketplace. If you are just now tuning in to what's going on in the real estate market, wake up. We're in a recovery.
Well, and here's the first one. Fewer San Diego homeowners are underwater. And this is a report put together by Zillow.
Yay!
I have mixed feelings on our buddies over there at Zillow. I've spoken out several times of them not being my favorite, but nonetheless, they are saying, and I guess this is a good thing, only one-third of San Diego homeowners are underwater. Wow. Only one-third. And to give you some idea, we are down from 35.6. So we've increased 2%, or I guess that would be decreased 2% with the amount of homeowners that are underwater here in San Diego. I don't know. Is that a massive change?
Well, you know, I tell you, when we look at Zillow, obviously we're not sure whether or not they're credible enough to come out and really state some of the things they're stating. But when we look at companies like Foreclosure Radar, which we know to be reputable, they're suggesting that only one in every 417 homes are actually in foreclosure right now. That's a pretty low number.
Well, the Zillow article goes on to say that, you know, we just talked, San Diego is down 2%. Nationally, we're down about 1%. I'm going to go ahead and say that those numbers don't seem to be all that relevant to me. I would say that's evidence of kind of staying flat, which is certainly better than a decrease. And one would expect we're going to bobble around at the bottom for a little bit. But at least we're not seeing additional percentage of homeowners becoming more and more underwater.
Well, I'd say flat is a very blanket statement. I think it's price point specific. If you're talking about homes that are under 500,000, I bet you'd say that that's really not a flat market. I'd say that's a more than normal, hot, over-asking, multiple offer type of market.
So Zillow did 30 areas where they did this analysis on, and San Diego ranked as the number 14 worst off, with Vegas, Phoenix, Riverside, Tampa, and a variety of others ranking higher, or I guess it would be really lower in terms of how many homeowners are underwater. And just as a barometer, Las Vegas, 68.5% of the homeowners in Vegas are upside down. That's 2 out of 3. That's ridiculous.
That's a big number, but I got to say, if you're off the strip in Las Vegas, it is nothing but a hot, flat desert out there, and frankly, a tough place to live.
Yeah, I can kind of point to some of the numbers that you're seeing there, and I think the most important thing you want to take away is that it's the direction of change. So you're seeing this flattening where it's getting less worse, right? So it's starting to – the numbers aren't growing anymore, and you're actually seeing a positive change where things are improving, property values are starting to increase again, and at least it's bringing some confidence in, especially if you're a new buyer, where you can take a look and say, okay, at least it's not getting any worse. I might step out there and start to take a look around.
Absolutely, Reed. I mean, when we're sitting here on the front lines and we're studying homes and prices every day and we're watching what's going on in the marketplace, I'm sure you, as a Wells Fargo First Vice President of Investment Advisor, are seeing some of the same positive things that we're seeing.
And I can chime in on from the home inspector point of view, the homes that I'm inspecting now are in much better condition than in the past year to 2 years they were.
Oh.
Most of the houses that have not been flipped, mm-hmm. most of them now that I'm getting are houses that have been flipped and are ready to move in, whereas a year to 2 years ago, they were all just in really bad shape.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, you know, that is a good point you bring that up, because when the market is a extreme seller's market, I mean, these sellers are packing their stuff and leaving the house and in a lot of cases leaving a mess behind, you know, and now we've got a market that's more stable and we're finding properties are clean, people are taking better care of them, and the transition is a better transition, some might say.
Well, I would say as the property condition gets better, one would think that the sellers have less distress. Right? It is the most distressed properties, the foreclosure is imminent, the short sale happened. Those are going to be the worst properties in terms of condition. Wouldn't that be your
guess,
sir?
Yeah, I would agree 100% with that.
Got it. Well, that's great news, actually, that more and more are traditional sales, or we're getting closer to that.
Yeah, and you know, with obviously yards being brown and people not caring for the property and leaving in the middle of the night, these foreclosures that we're seeing, Ron, are you inspecting a lot of these properties, or the short sales and the bank-owned properties, are home buyers just assuming the property without home inspections, or are they still doing inspections?
No, I would say that I probably inspect more than 50%, maybe 75% of the houses that haven't been flipped, I'm still inspecting. Unfortunately, for the first-time home buyer, it's a lot of investors that are buying those ones that haven't been cleaned up to buy and resell.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in the long run for the first-time buyer, you may end up paying more, but he can basically move into a house that's unpacked and you're ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, a real sign of the marketplace, I mean, because these investors are coming in with cash, and the FHA, the VA buyer, you know, they're not getting some of these properties because, you know, even the banks who are in the business of loaning money are accepting all cash over.
Well, and a lot of those ones are unfinanceable when they are bought by an investor because they don't have appliances or they don't have bathrooms or kitchens in some cases because they've just been left in such disarray.
Yeah, one of the things I've been seeing on my side of things in the financial markets that I think is a real leading indicator for the real estate market is if you look at home builders and their stock price performance this year, that is probably, I think it is one of the number one sectors out there. So home builders, your Pulte and Lennar and those types of companies have been performing extremely well. Well, what does that mean? They're all at their highest levels they've been in a long time. And they're selling homes. There's a demand now for new homes, and the stock prices reflect that. And there's been a condition out there in the markets, really starting in 2005, where home builders stopped building homes because there was too many homes built, mm-hmm. and there wasn't enough demand. And so what you have to build in the United States is about a million homes or more per year just to keep up with.
Wow.
Exactly.
It's a big number.
It's a big number. And so this big number hasn't been met now for going on 5, 6, 7 years. They've only been really building between 350,000 homes a year and 600,000. So really math at some point just comes into place, and you have the conditions where supply meets demand, and that's why the market's starting to bottom. You know, that's what I'm seeing out there. So
that's a great analogy.
Yeah, really, and I like that point of view from a financial planner's point of view. You're telling us that builders are making money, they're building houses, and that's just another form of good news.
It is.
Back to our UT. Lily Leung, she is the author of all these real estate articles. I think I need to meet her.
We
got to
have her
days.
On the show.
We got to have her on the show. One more. Signs point to housing recovery. And I know you can't see this graph here, but it is steep coming off into 2008, 2009 in a downward cycle. And we kind of bobble around the bottom. But as Reed mentioned, the depreciation seems to have stopped. The getting worse seems to have stopped. And although no massive drastic changes, it shows they surveyed San Diego and 19 other markets, and prices rose 1.1% over year over year, month over month. Nothing terribly significant, but not down, right? Not down, bobbling a little bit around the bottom. And when comparing with the national level, as we did previously with the homeowners underwater, we're looking somewhere year over year of about 0.5% increase nationally. Again, nothing mind-blowing, but further evidence that we're nearing the bottom or at least not continuing down.
Well, you know, one of the other things that is also an indicator that you might not be aware of reading the newspaper is that Ryan and I both have a bank relationship. In fact, we have multiple bank relationships, and the banks grade us, and that grade gets us REOs or not. Both of us have 100%, right? So that means we're eligible to receive as many assets as they want given our area, which they like to keep the assets within 25 miles of us. Right now, I think we have one pre-listed bank-owned property. The main reason that we have that one is simply because the bank is honoring the lease agreement that existed before we were assigned that asset. Otherwise, it'd probably be gone. I mean, we don't have any pre-listed properties. I'm sure there are agents out there that do. We're certainly eligible to receive these bank-owned properties, but the banks just aren't foreclosing on as many properties as they used to. And frankly, if you are a banker and you think that you're still foreclosing on properties like you used to, give us a call. We want to hear from you. Call us at 888-551-2593.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Reed about retirement planning. Now, not the most sexy topic I've ever spoken about before in my life, but we're all going to retire. At least we hope to. He's going to tell you how to do it. And Mr. Cantor here, we're going to talk about how you can alleviate the biggest concerns you go through during the second negotiation. That is the request for repairs and going through the home inspection, how to navigate that space when we come back.
The best part about being smarter than everyone else is that we don't have to listen to all the talking heads. We don't have to listen to all the rumors and all the graybeards who think they know how this stuff really works. The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills. Any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235, or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. Are you looking to buy a new or used car? Would you like to get a special deal just for listening to the show? All you have to do is go to bestcardealsandiego.com and get connected with my friends at Toyota of Escondido. I guarantee you get a great deal and walk away happy. They'll give you the most for your trade and the lowest price for your new or used car purchase. They have a 12.5-acre facility, so finding the perfect car is easy. By the way, they can finance anyone. If you've had a bankruptcy, short sale, foreclosure, even a repossession, everyone walks away happy at Toyota of Escondido. Just go to bestcardealsandiego.com today. That's bestcardealsandiego.com. Toyota of Escondido is a family-owned and operated company, so you can support the local community, get treated the way you deserve, and ultimately get the best car deal in San Diego. Go to bestcardealsandiego.com right now. That's bestcardealsandiego.com and get the best possible deal on a car in San Diego today. Bestcardealsandiego.com.
Welcome back to ESPN Radio 1700, the Real Estate Hour. We are here with Reed Matthews, a certified financial planner, first vice president of investments.
Thanks for having me again.
And Ron Cantor from Cantor Property Inspections. And let's get right into it. Reed, you had mentioned that there are some signs of what's happening in the marketplace. And before we went to break, you had kind of touched on a couple things.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things we've been experiencing the last few years is just a lot of really negative information. And even when we've had some positive news out there, like the real estate market showing signs of bottoming, really what I think people have been calling a stealth rally in the stock market. I mean, I can provide a little bit of a few year-to-date returns here that I think people would be impressed with. It. And many people have it's gone unnoticed to the average person.
Is that
person
what you mean by
there.
Stealth? People aren't taking note of it?
And even the professionals on Wall Street, as they call them, have kind of have missed some of this move. They're underperforming
Why?
The market. I think a lot of it has to do with, if you look at the world we live in today, there's a lot of worries. And what most good bull markets do, so markets that go up, they climb a wall of worries. So a worry comes along, for example, the European debt crisis. There's a solution to it. You move on past that one. The next one is the presidential election. You're going to move past that
one. Good point. I think a lot of people are on the fence right now because they're wondering what's going to happen with our elections.
Well, here's the problem with that. And I think if you look back to history, you'll find that by waiting for things to get good, like the housing market to find the bottom, you missed it. I mean, it happens. I see it over and over again. And that's typically the way it works. By the time the news is really good and everyone's coming out and saying it's fantastic, you've missed all of the returns.
Yeah, you know, right now I'm actually not sure which way I fall because I'm not sure if I'm happy to hear all this great news about real estate or I'd much rather keep it to ourselves because by the time it comes out and everybody hears about it, it's almost over.
Yeah, I remember way back when, you know, people were touting the fact they could buy homes with nothing down, and about the time that became out and widespread, well, we all know what happened. So yeah, being on the cutting edge and front lines, as you are over there, Reed, certainly is a very practical thing to do to actually get involved in some of those investments you're talking about.
Yeah, so let's just go over a couple returns year to date, and I will try not to bore people with too many numbers here, but they are important, and I think they once again point to the direction of an improving economy, stock market, real estate environment that's going fairly unnoticed, in my opinion. But if you look out there right now, S&P 500, which is the 500 largest companies by market cap, so your Procter & Gambles and Cokes and things like that, year to date, so just from the beginning of the year, is up 12.16%, and that's as of the 29th of August.
That's great.
It's fantastic.
So that's two-thirds of a year.
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's a solid return that I think most people with the news flow, you would think that things are much worse than they actually are. If you go out and you take a look at, for example, the NASDAQ 100, which has all of our favorite company, Apple, in it, you're talking about a 22.22% total return year to date. I mean, there's some impressive numbers out there that you just can't ignore. And, you know, will that continue? You know, it's our opinion at Wells Fargo. Our chief economist, Gary Thayer, put out a good piece saying, look, there's probably a time where we're going to pause here and then move forward towards the fourth quarter. But,
you know, I am hearing that. I hear talk of a slowdown, you know, given the rally that we've had. In fact, I'm not really sure. I'm kind of a skeptic. I'm wondering, is the Obama administration stilting this economy to get back in office? Are we really experiencing this shift where we're picking up momentum and we're just going to, you know, carry on into this?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that are out there. One of the biggest things impacting the market, your market, my market, is this incredibly low interest rate environment.
Sure.
Yeah.
You can't ignore that. That is going to impact the way businesses make decisions on whether they hire, whether they borrow, expand their factories, whether someone goes out there and buys a new home. I mean, myself, you know, I've worked with you guys a little bit, and I'm interested now because the prices have stopped going down and interest rates are just too compelling. You have to look at it and say, I'm going to make decisions now because of the cost of borrowing money and purchasing a home, or even when you go out there and you're investing. Why have stocks done so well? Well, they become a really good alternative when you're looking at buying a CD that might pay you less than 1%, and you can get a dividend from a good quality company paying you 2 or 3%. So those are the things that I think are motivating people to get out there and get more active. Low interest rates are definitely helping.
Well, we could step back and take a look at some of the things that we've learned in this last decade that can really help you navigate through this marketplace and end up being rich. I mean, if you play your cards right. I mean, I think one of the things that we have to be careful about is to make sure that your portfolio is well balanced. I think if anything that we've learned over the last 10 years is that don't have all your eggs in one basket. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have had all their eggs in real estate. And look what's happened. I mean, I'm still a huge fan of real estate. I think it's a good part of everybody's portfolio. But, you know, the old adage, be diversified.
Yeah, with interest rates 3.5%, sometimes 2.5% for a home loan, it clearly doesn't make sense to not have money in the S&P 500 where you can get 12 in two-thirds of a year. You're talking maybe 18 year to year once you work it all out. That's a huge difference. Huge, as opposed to having money in your home. Are you seeing people taking money out of their home through a refi and investing it? Are we to the market? Is the market so good and rates so low that people are doing that yet?
No, you're not seeing that. I mean, that's what's happened here with this stock market rally. We use some measures out there where we look at investor sentiment. So how people are feeling about their money, their retirement, and where the markets are going. And to this day, even with these great returns, you'd normally see a lot of people coming back into the market. And you're just not seeing that. They're still piling their money into money markets, CDs, cash, and bonds.
They're skeptics.
They are. They're skeptics. They're getting a little bit left behind. And, there's a lot of fear out there. And I think
they're shell-shocked.
Yeah. And I think there should be to some extent. But at the same time, you have to use the data that you have. And low interest rates are going to impact the prices of these other things and make them more attractive. And while we're in a low interest rate environment, I think that that's going to help asset prices across the board.
So you had mentioned having money in cash, having it in CDs. One would consider those to be the safest investments possible. But you had mentioned some investments that you have that are FDIC insured.
Yeah, working at Wells Fargo, we're a great financial institution, and we have a strong credit quality, and we're one of the largest banks in the country. And working at Wells Fargo, I'm on the investment management side of things, and we have access to different products, different investments where you can provide yourself with a certainty of an outcome, where you can protect your principal and get some participation in the upside. And so, if people are interested in getting more information on that, I know that my contact information will be given out, and feel free to contact me anytime.
So let's go ahead and do that. The number here at the show is 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. Or go to our website, pricelesshome.com. Click on the radio button and submit an inquiry. And just one more time, Reed, because I think it was really crucial what you said there, is principal protected. Principal protected. Can you expand on that just a little bit?
Yeah, so principal protected, basically it means I put my money in, and if as long as I hold it over the course of the time frame, which is predetermined, let's say 6 years,
okay.
I put my money in, I'm at the very worst case scenario, and I always like looking at investments from a worst case scenario. What's the worst I can do? You're going to get your money back. Obviously, there's some FDIC insurance guidelines, that the banks have. And as long as you follow those rules, that you can do some things out there where you get that protection.
So if I'm to walk into a branch now, I put my money in a CD, which is making me nothing. And there certainly are certain rules as far as how long I have to have it in there. But it sounds like the CD would be a very similar investment in terms of FDIC protection as opposed to what you're talking about as well. They're the same thing, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of details to it, but it is a CD.
Great.
So I'll leave it at that.
Good enough. FDIC principal protection. That sounds wonderful.
Well, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Reed Matthews, the Certified Financial Planner, Financial Advisor, First Vice President of Investments with Wells Fargo. And I mean, Warren Buffett came out and said he recommends, if you can afford it, to buy 100 residential real estate.
Piece of real estate. Yep.
Right. I mean, here's a guy that nobody's buying off. Nobody's suggesting you should say this or that. He's already made his money. He's coming out and stating, I recommend buying 100 pieces of residential real estate. Now, when I hear something like that, I know that he obviously has a lot more money than the majority of us out there. When we're navigating through this economy, whether it be that you're considering refinancing, you're considering investment properties, or you're considering diversifying, which is what we recommend, your portfolio, obviously real estate can play a big role in that. But at the same time, reaching out and making sure that you secure some of these investments that Reed is suggesting to protect your principal.
Yeah, and I think let's talk a little bit about why real estate makes sense here. You get to, first of all, most of us live in our homes, right? We all need a place to live, and so that's a huge advantage. The other part of that, there's certain tax breaks that you get, like being able to write off your mortgage deduction. Those are important things. So when you look at that, and then over time, the value of property is going to go up. Now, I think people, and you may disagree with me, I think everyone needs to set realistic expectations for property value and what they might be able to accomplish in terms of returns over the next 10 or 20 years. But I still think that it's a good place for people to accumulate wealth and protect against inflation too. Property does well when you get inflation, and we don't have any right now. But as you know, the government's printing money every day, and inflation could be around the corner. And real estate's one of those few things that actually might help us through that.
Well, naturally, you're talking to a couple guys here that believe in buying real estate. My parents have shown me how that should be done, and I'm following in their same footsteps. So I'm really on track with what you're saying. Personally, I don't know anything about the financial market. My focus has always been on real estate. So when we come back, we are going to give – we do this every time. Every show we give away, but it changes a little bit now. It's going to change us a little bit. We are going to give away – David and me, mostly David, is going to pay to have the credit repaired for everybody who calls, anybody and every way. Free enrollment – and DCR, Dedicated Credit Repairs, Easy Pay Program, David's paying for. Anybody who calls when we come back or throughout the rest of the show, the number 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. Call. Don't forget to leave a message with your phone number. Got to leave the information. It is my cell phone. It's in my pocket right now. Free credit repair. David's paying for it when we come back.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the United States own mutual funds. It makes me wonder, how many of these people have read all the fine print associated with those investments? The good news is, you don't have to try and figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is willing to do a free risk cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, call the helpline today and get a free analysis so you can find out how much these investments are really costing you. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much? Dan will tell you this for free, and he'll also give you a risk analysis snapshot so you can find out if you're taking on more risk than you should be. Just call the helpline today at 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154. If you're an honest person with an impeccable track record of exceptional customer service and the highest levels of integrity, then I want you to contact me today. I consider it my job to help the people of San Diego find the best service providers in town. And if you're one of them, I'd like to know about it. But let me be clear. I'm only looking for companies that have incredible records of execution and customer service. Email me directly, MrCredit@MrCredit.us. That's MrCredit@MrCredit.us, or call 888-888-0154.
We are live with Reed Matthews, financial advisor and first vice president of investments, Wells Fargo Advisors. That is a long title, Reed.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but it's required.
And Ron Cantor with Cantor Property Inspection Services. Thanks, guys, for being with us. We promised the listeners we talk a little bit about retirement planning and sounds like college planning. And ultimately, what I think Reed is going to do is back out the expenses you can estimate you will have for both of those things to create essentially a formula as to what you should be doing now. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. I'm going to keep it really simple.
Thank you.
And, as a certified financial planner, we go through all these processes of learning how to help people through retirement and estate planning and all this different type of stuff. And I found that at the end of the day, you end up with a 400-page financial plan that you don't really know what to do with because it's too complex. So I'm going to give a little bit of advice here, some free advice on what to expect in retirement. It might be a little bit scary, but I think it's important that people at least have an idea of what to expect in retirement. So what we do is we take and look at how much income you might need in retirement, and all of us are different. But let's say you retired today and you had $1 million of investable assets.
Sounds great.
It sounds like a nice chunk of change, right?
Let's do it.
The sad part about it is that if you tested that a well-balanced portfolio like that against a lot of different scenarios of good times and bad, meaning ups and downs in the market, and you had a withdrawal rate of about 4 or 4.5%, which would be $45,000 a year on $1 million, your portfolio could take you through retirement.
Okay.
But as you move up and your expectations and income needs on that $1 million
cost of living
grow, well, that, by the way, that number that I just gave, that 4, 4.5% does take into account inflation. All right.
Okay.
So it's testing it against inflation and different movement in the markets. And so your income is growing each year at a steady rate.
So let me make sure I'm clear on the scenario.
Sure.
Because that's crucial. Retire today. I got $1 million in the bank that I can invest in whatever, cash to invest in something.
You would need to have a balanced portfolio. That's
okay.
What this assumes.
Okay. Okay. A balanced portfolio. Yep. Great. Okay. Got it. Go ahead.
Also assuming that you don't have a huge amount of debt.
True.
Right?
Sure.
Because you got a debt service with that. And frankly, $40,000, $45,000 to live in San Diego, it's going to be tough unless you have everything else paid off.
Exactly. And what this does is it's probability analysis. It's just the likelihood of running out of money before retirement. So as you keep taking out more and you move to $50,000, then $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, you're going to have real problems. You're putting a lot of stress on your portfolio. So what people need to do out there and they need to think about is take – a conservative approach. Look at a number in retirement and think about what you might need to save to get there. There's a lot of different ways to get there, right?
Okay.
To invest and save. But what's your number? How do you get to that point where you have enough money where if you withdrew around a 4% rate, it would be enough to live in retirement? Now, yeah, you can add in Social Security and all those different numbers. Some people here might have a pension, things like that.
Well, I know we're talking an awful lot about you. But when a lot of our sellers calculate the amount of money that they're taking from the sale of the house and forecasting how long their money is going to last them, they're not necessarily only thinking about the you in the equation. They're thinking about their legacy. They're thinking about their spouse. They're thinking about after they're gone, is this money going to outlast them?
And that's one of the things that I work on with clients all the time. So estate planning, legacy planning, you know, I team up with accountants and attorneys that help a great deal in putting those plans together. But at Wells Fargo, we have something called Envision. And basically all it is you input a bunch of different goals. Might be education goals for your kids. It might be leaving behind an estate to your grandchildren. It might be a certain number that you're looking for of income in retirement. I plug all that information in and I give you the probability of those goals, those things that you're looking for, like leaving that legacy behind that you speak of, to your heirs. And so that's something that we do for our clients. And it's a free service for everyone that I end up having a consultation with.
That's nice because it's not always free. I mean,
no,
I know some financial
not.
Planners out there that do charge for an initial consultation.
Yeah, you know, working at a large company like Wells Fargo Advisors, we do not charge for that part of the plan. That's not part of the deal. My compensation comes either if someone decides to sign up and they pay me a fee per year, or they pay me for a transaction. But on that initial phase, as people are making that decision, all of that planning, that information gathering, it's all free. Yeah,
and so. You were getting through this, so tell me why that plan is crucial. I'm retiring today. I got $1 million. What's going to happen to me?
Well, one of the things that I think it's crucial to understand is to have realistic expectations.
Okay.
You know, that's what it's about, is understanding that your assets can only do so much. You
mm-hmm.
have to, and that means at the end of the day, what does it really mean? You got to save more. That's it. That's really what happens, is that you really need to think about saving more money and investing more in whether it's real estate or the stock market, bonds, cash, whatever it is. You need to be thinking about the future and saving more money, because you can't, you know, my dad's a perfect example. All right. His idea was that he would retire. He worked at the same company for 38 years and he would retire. And the financial planner that he worked with showed him a straight line calculation that he could take out 10% every year into perpetuity. Well, guess what? Two financial crises later, that plan totally blew up. So unless I had brought him down to earth and showed him the reality of what happens during good and bad times, and that's what it's all about, is if you know what to expect, you can plan and you can weather those storms. And I think that's what retirement is all about, is being able to weather the storm.
So as an example, I'm 35. I probably am going to have to be doing this for another 30 years or so. So 30 years from now, maybe I'm talking retirement. So I think what you're saying is you can make an estimate as at 30 years from now how much money I'm going to need for the next 30 years of my life. So essentially 60 years from now, mm-hmm. whatever that number is, you put a plan together to then back out what I need to be saving today.
Exactly.
So I have the right amount of money set aside 30 years from now to take care of myself for the next 30 years.
And we plug in lots of other goals. You know, you've talked about you have a young one, mm-hmm. and I can plug in also how education savings and costs fit into your retirement plan as well. You know, if you're going along and you're saving and then you forgot to save for a couple kids going off to college, Ooh. That can blow up your retirement plan alone because you're rating those assets and then you're even further behind, which is where a lot of people are right now.
Wow. Well, I think earlier you mentioned like a 400-page financial plan. I mean, obviously you're trying to keep this real simple, but I can even make it simpler than that. I mean, if you have any questions about what to do with your financial future, I think Reed has stepped up and said he'll do a financial analysis for you for free. Just give us a call here at the Real Estate Hotline at 888-551-2593. And all you have to remember is that Reed knows how to do it.
Thanks.
Well, I think this is really crucial to know that number. I'm an ex, or David will call me a recovering engineer. So formulas are really crucial to me. And I think a lot of us, we take the attitude that, hey, I make my check every month. If I got something left over at the end of the month, I put it in savings. But that's the wrong way of looking at it. If you know up front how much it's going to take, well, maybe you decide to cut out that Starbucks 7 times a week. Maybe you decide to drive that old car another 6 months longer so you can meet your retirement goals today. And like I said, I got 30 years till I'm anywhere near that. So it's not really totally on my radar now, but it should be, so that I make sure that 30 years from now, I'm going to have the amount of money I need to retire, which is obviously very crucial. And you mentioned briefly, Reed, about college planning. Now, I have a 2-year-old. And you've got what? How old's yours?
She's 14
months. 14 months. David,
oh,
you've
wow.
got two.
Yep.
Right?
9 and 14.
Two.
And you have two
and
over two. There also, Ron. Okay.
Two of mine and two of hers.
Two of mine. So you have four.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, look at you. You got the Brady Bunch over
yeah.
there. Good enough. Likely, hopefully, we're all talking. So what is that? 2, 4, what is that? That's 9 kids going to college in here.
Wow. That's enough
frankly,
for a kindergarten
you're
class.
The bill for most of them. how much money?
It's a lot of home inspections.
Yeah. How much money do I need to have set aside, let's say, to have 16 years from now, because he's 2, so 18, to send him to college in 16 years? And, you know, we're talking middle of the road.
A lot.
A lot. Yeah, I'm afraid of that.
Well, I actually have some really scary numbers,
oh,
unfortunately.
Great.
So today, if you paid for pretty much everything per year and you went to a public school, an in-state type of situation, right, you're talking about $21,447 today, all right? For someone to go
for
to school.
For 4 years?
Per year.
Per year?
Yes. Now, that's paying for everything. That's your room and board and transportation and things
well,
like
gotta
that.
We got
to live. Right, of
to
course.
Live somewhere, yeah.
So if we fast
honestly,
forward.
Honestly, it doesn't sound that bad, really.
Today, it's not that bad. Unfortunately, they've done some numbers out there. And the national inflation rate right now for college, it's been getting out of control. It's been about 8.3% compounding. All right, that's insane. It's just been going up faster
wow,
and faster
so it's
going to
double
faster.
Every 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, so we're talking about it'll double pretty much every 8 or 9 years, okay. right around there. So if we go out and we take a look at in 2027 when we're going to send our kids to school,
Whew.
It's about $71,000 a year.
Oh, times, of course, 4 years. Hopefully, hopefully it's 4
right,
years.
Right.
Hopefully it's 4 years.
Not 6.
Yeah, hopefully.
Or maybe
so
it's 6.
71,000 times 4, carry the 1, blah,
oh, yeah.
blah, blah. We're talking $300,000.
And at the end of the day, you just need to make sure that you understand how much it's going to cost so that you can give your kids the best opportunity, right? That's what we're all here to do.
So not only do I have to prepare to retire 30 years from now, I got to prepare to send my kids to college in 16 years. And that's a big numbers.
Huge.
Well, you know, there are varying degrees of position, and maybe you're out there, maybe you're listening to this thinking, hey, I just lost my house to the bank, or I just got through with a short sale, or maybe my credit's not that great, and you're in the recovery phase, and that's why we've really stepped up, and we're going to pay for your credit repair.
Yeah, I think this is crucial. No strings attached, guys. I'm not asking for anything in return. We are going to fix this economy one consumer at a time. Dedicated credit repair, that's where we're going to send you. We're paying for it. I'm putting it on David's credit card. He's got a black card. He can take it. He is paying for it. Free credit repair. No joke.
Well, there was such a demand for this that she basically said, look, I can't give this away for free anymore. And it's a $350 value, actually. So, we've stepped up knowing that there's enough people out there that use this service, that benefit from this service. We've seen it work for people. If you're thinking about refinancing, if you're thinking about buying, or you're thinking about, getting yourself in a better financial position and you want to clean up your credit, if you think your credit score is less than 740.
Anything less than 740, you can benefit financially by having a higher credit score.
Call us at 888-551-2593. And get signed up for it today.
When we come back, we are going to talk with Mr. Cantor. He is going to explain to us how to be best prepared for the second negotiation. That's when you're
rarely
in escrow.
Spoke of.
Rarely spoke of. Yes, nobody likes to talk about it. Every seller I talk to says, we're not paying, we're not fixing anything. But they do. And he's going to walk us through the process to give you as much ammunition as you can to win that negotiation when we come back.
You know, I talk a lot about real estate on the show because real estate mistakes are very costly. Many of the people I hear from who are in bad situations with money have made at least one or more real estate mistakes in recent history. It's tough for me because I would have easily been able to help them avoid those mistakes if we had spoken sooner rather than later. This is why I urge anyone who is facing foreclosure, thinking about a short sale, or stuck in what I call the loan modification nightmare to call the Real Estate Helpline today and get some free and honest advice before doing anything. You can also get a free home valuation and loan modification update as well. It's 888-888-0154. That's the phone number, 888-888-0154, or email online, MrCreditRadio.com.
If you have student loans, listen very carefully to this message. Student loan debt in America recently passed credit card debt as the number one debt held by Americans. The good news is Congress has taken action and there is now a program that can help you save money on your student loans. Call 877-927-6864 right now if you want to save money on your student loans. That's 877-927-6864. You can consolidate your student loans into one low monthly payment, get your deferment time renewed, and even get some of the principal balance forgiven in some cases. You can change the repayment plan as often as you need. There are experts in this program ready for your call. 877-927-6864. That's 877-927-6864. You can stretch your repayment term out from 10 years to as much as 30 years if you need. 877-927-6864. 64 right now to save money on your student loans.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Welcome back to ESPN Radio 1700, where we're talking real estate right now with Reed Matthews, a certified financial advisor, the first vice president of investments. Getting longer than that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And we're on the line here with Ron Cantor from Cantor Property Inspections, here to talk about something I'm very passionate about. I mean, here's the thing that's happening right now. Let's say you've taken the plunge, you put your house on the market, you get an offer, you negotiate to a price, you open escrow, you take your house off the market, and 17 days later, after the buyer does a home inspection, they blindside you with a huge list of repairs and or a request for credit.
In lieu of financial credit.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So now your house is off the market. You think this is all done, and now you're thrusted into a second wave of negotiations. And one of the things that we've started to do, which is a trend that we're seeing, is that a lot of agents are stepping out and having the homes that they list pre-inspected so that when you're in that negotiating process, you can send that buyer all the disclosures, and you can already send them a home inspection and or be more prepared and have fixed a lot of the home
fixing repair. Them. Fixing them. That's the key is doing the inspection and getting them fixed ahead of time.
Yeah, I mean, are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing an increase in the, what we call the pre-listing inspection. And it really it puts the seller in the driver's seat in terms of any potential repairs that they may come across in the regular home inspection. So if they know ahead of time, they can either, like you said, fix them or they can disclose them and price the property accordingly so that when they do the regular home inspection for the buyer, they don't get blindsided with this list and this astronomical number that they might have to pay to have all these things fixed or credit when they're, you know, they're probably already selling their house for less than they think they should be anyways, which I'm sure you guys deal sure. with all the time.
Well, there are a number of inspections that are going to take place. The CLUE report, the natural hazard zone disclosure, the pest inspection, and of course, the home inspection. So we know that the buyer's agent's in fact required to request that the buyer do a home inspection. So we know that it's coming. In fact, if the buyer elects not to do a home inspection, they have to sign a whole bunch of paperwork, scaring them back into doing it anyway. So here comes that second wave. You're sitting pretty, you're in escrow, and now you've got this issue where the buyer's upset because the house was inspected and here's this big report on what was wrong with it, and they were in love with it. So one of the things we've stepped out and started doing is pre-inspecting the properties, because that way you're better prepared when you have that offer. I mean, imagine you're a homeowner, you're not aware that your furnace is on a recall unit. I mean, do we think the buyer is going to ask that for that furnace to be replaced? Absolutely. That could be a $2,000 blow right there.
For sure. I mean, I don't think any buyer out there is going to be happy with a furnace that's on the recall list.
Correct. And there's several that have, over the years, have popped up on a list. There's one particular brand, Consolidated Industries, that manufactured tons of these furnaces in the 80s, and they're all in bad, bad shape. They need to be replaced, and fortunately, there's not too many of them left, but there's also polybutylene plumbing, for example, is a pipe that was used in the 80s, and I hate to pick on the 80s, but it seems like that was the years of really bad construction.
At least they were past lead-based paint and asbestos.
Correct. 30
years from now, we'll be looking back and be like, oh my God, why did they do that in 2011?
Well, have you guys heard about this Chinese drywall thing?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, there's a thing out there called the Chinese drywall, and if it was
moldy.
Imported, you've got to check it out.
How do you inspect for that?
Well, fortunately, we don't have too much of it here in Southern California, so I haven't had to deal with that too much.
Let's hope you're not the lucky one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's be clear here what we're advocating now. We're saying that there is a second negotiation that occurs in every transaction. There's the first one where we nail down a price. We go into escrow. Second negotiation pops up, usually surrounding the repairs and the actual physical inspection of the home. We're suggesting that the thing to do is get your home pre-inspected. Pre-inspect the home. Of course, we're going to recommend Cantor to do the inspection. He will tell you what's wrong with it. Now, that's
or
not good
what's
enough.
Right.
Or what's right. Okay, good enough. Good enough. Or what's right. But that's not enough. You actually have to do the work. Getting the work done is really what's going to help you with the second negotiation. We're such believers on this that I'm putting David's credit card on the line again. David's willing to pop for that pre-inspection.
That's right.
If you're thinking about going through this process.
We feel so strongly about it that every home that we have for sale, we pre-inspect because we want our sellers to be aware and not blindsided when it comes to the home repairs. I mean, we've got a buyer. They're excited about the property. In the initial stages of that offer, we can disclose everything that we know about the property. In fact, why don't we just fix it? I mean, if we find out the house is, you know, we can have the furnace guys come out. We can check to make sure that you can do that yourself. I mean, go right now to your furnace, write down the number, go to furnaceinspect.com. There's a huge list of furnaces that are on a recall list, and you can find out if your furnace is on a recall list. There's a number of things that you can do. If you'd like, we can provide to you a copy of an inspection. That way you can go through and do your own inspection and start to whittle down on the things that are wrong with the property, because you're probably living with a garbage disposal that doesn't work and you forgot about it. Or maybe the fourth burner in your on your stove doesn't work anymore and you forgot about it and you're just living with it. But these are things that are going to pop up. And if we're better prepared when we have that offer, when we have that buyer and you fixed it, and that home inspection goes through nice and smooth because we already know what's right and what's wrong with the property. And if we aren't going to fix something, at least now we're prepared. We have exactly what we're going to say as to why it's not that way. I mean, every home inspection becomes a disclosure to that buyer. So when we do a home inspection, you're going to have to disclose that. But you're better off disclosing early before the buyer gets that cold feet that they sometimes get.
I just yesterday went back and did a re-inspection on a house that I inspected several weeks back that had 20-plus items on the list of repairs that could have – most of those would have been handled previously if they would have done that pre-listing inspection.
Well, there's a number of things that the homeowner can do to smooth out the process as well as their agent. For example, one of the things we recommend is – if you're a homeowner and your home is being inspected, be there. Be there with that home inspector. So when that inspector says, you know what, you don't have a GFI circuit where it should be, that's like a $5 repair. And you might see that and go, whoa, my goodness, I didn't realize it. You know, the home inspector can say, you know what, this is a minor concern. Or you could discover this is a real major concern and something that you're going to have to repair regardless of what buyer you're with.
Correct. And it's interesting because when you have this list, it looks so overwhelming to both the buyer and the seller. The buyer's got this expectation that they're buying a brand new house when in fact it may be, you know, 30, 40, 60 years old. And the sellers, this is their home that they've been in for, you know, maybe 20, 30, 40 years.
They're very proud of.
They're very proud of. And it's really, as a home inspector, I have to be really careful and tiptoe through not, you know, offending the seller when I do an inspection for the buyer and I'm telling them the things that I've found, which, like you said, it may be a $5 GFI and it doesn't sound like anything to me, but to the seller and the buyer, that could be a major thing that they really need to be informed of.
This is like doing your homework. Maybe you don't want to do it, but I got to say that you're going to save thousands of dollars by being prepared. I mean, why wouldn't you get a copy of a home inspection and go through your house yourself and begin to fix the things or hire it out so that when that home inspection comes down, that the house flies through with flying colors?
Well, so just to reiterate, if you're out there, you're thinking about putting your home on the market, we're going to advocate a pre-listing inspection. And more so, we're willing to pay for it. That's how much we believe in it. Matter of fact, David, he's paying for it. We're really running that credit card up.
You've got a big credit
limit. It's probably another $400 right there. Right? It's worth it. It's worth it. It will save you thousands of dollars.
He's going to pay for it. A free pre-listing inspection out there. Should you be kind of contemplating the short sale process? The thing we're throwing out there is we do have ways of repairing your credit after the short sale. So credit repair, there's both credit repair to get you prepared to buy or refinance, also credit repair after the fact. David's also paying for credit repair for someone who successfully completes a short sale to turn you into a buyer so you can go back out and begin the process again. Wipe the slate clean. So again, free credit repair and a free listing inspection.
Now, there are a number of things you can do that don't cost money, right? I mean, you can go out and inspect your own furnace. You can Google it. You can do a home inspection yourself. In fact, why not call the fire department and have them come out and test your sprinklers? I mean, recently we closed a property. We had a natural hazard zone disclosure that showed up that the property was in a high fire hazard zone. So stop everything. We have to figure out whether or not this property is insurable. We have to figure out what the level of risk is here for the buyer as to whether or not this is really in a fire hazard zone. So we brought out the fire inspector, and he tested the fire sprinklers, which was great. He went through and showed us that there were two water lines coming into the property, one for the water for the property. The other one was for the sprinkler system, so there was a dedicated line. In addition, you can get a preliminary title report and check to see if there are any easements, which are access rights through the property. You can check the stuff out and find out if there's any of them that have been abandoned but yet not removed from your title report. So there's a lot of things that a homeowner can do before we get under the gun, after we're in escrow, to prepare.
Ron, maybe you can talk about number one, number two things that a buyer or seller are going to miss on a home inspection. I mean, what? Obviously, you're a professional in this industry. What is it you're going to do that makes sure we catch everything as opposed to the next guy?
Well, the number one in terms of safety is the you've been talking about is the furnace and making sure that your furnace is safe to operate. I know it's a little ridiculous now when we're 100 degrees out right now.
Yeah,
but
I'm not thinking about furnaces right now.
It is probably the number one killer in your house, so that's definitely something. And now they have the new law that came into effect last year requiring a carbon monoxide detector in every home. And unfortunately, the realtors have been tagged with enforcing that. But it's even if you're not selling your house, it's a great idea to have your home put a carbon monoxide detector in your home.
So tell us about, you know, there's heights and amounts and quantities. And, you know, what is it we really need carbon monoxide detector? What is it the law is saying?
Well, the least expensive ones are not very effective.
Oh.
I would tend to lean, and okay. I've been told this by a person that came into the CREA, California Real Estate Inspection Association meeting that we had, and he said you basically have to spend about $60 to $80 on a carbon monoxide detector to really get a good quality carbon monoxide detector.
And so what's the difference? A cheap one just doesn't detect as well?
Correct. And actually the placement of the carbon monoxide detector is different than smoke detector, which goes on your ceiling. The carbon monoxide detector you want somewhere in the waist high to shoulder height, because that's where you're going to be breathing the carbon monoxide, not on the ceiling.
What about the ones that plug into the outlet? That's the most common. Are those the low-end ones we don't want?
I think those – I haven't really priced them out, but I think those ones are on the better side.
Got it. Okay. Good enough. Well, let's wrap up here. Again, the number, 888-551-2593, the Real Estate Helpline, 888-551-2593. If you are planning to retire, hopefully you are at some point in your life, you need to know how much money it's going to take to see you through that retirement. Call, talk to Reed, free financial plan. If you're thinking about listing your home, we're offering a free pre-listing inspection, Cantor Inspections. Also, free credit repair out there for anybody, any situation. I don't care what you're doing, no strings attached, free credit repair. The Real Estate Helpline, 888-551-2593. See you next week.